Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
Now, today, President Joe Biden is expected to lay out his commitments to confront climate change. He's set to sign a number of executive actions, likely to include elevating the issue as a national security priority.
National Climate Advisor Gina McCarthy and Special Presidential Envoy for Climate and my former boss, former Secretary of State John Kerry. And a big day for Boston in the briefing room. So, okay, that, go ahead.
Thank you.
This feels to me like the fastest out of the gate action on climate change ever from presidential administration.
President Biden is deeply committed, totally seized by this issue, as you can tell by this executive order.
Just 1 week into his administration, President Biden is continuing to move us forward at the breadth and the pace that climate science demands.
Would you agree with that?
Well, there haven't been too many presidential administrations that deal with climate change. I mean, when we think about this, it's really only been a topic of presidential conversation since 92. But this is certainly the most assertive that we've seen, you know, to make it a day one thing. Even Obama didn't go this far.
Today's executive order starts by saying it is the policy of this administration that climate considerations shall be an essential element of U.S. foreign policy and national security.
Yeah, I would note, too, I mean, it's not just that the climate change push out of the White House has come out sooner. I mean, that happened because climate change itself has been more assertive on, like, the U.S. landscape. And when you're talking about, you know, we had one of the busiest hurricane seasons ever, you know, since they've been keeping track. To a certain extent, D.C. is always kind of a lagging indicator, and I think it shows how much of an issue that climate change has become to the nuts and bolts of this country that they figured we need to do this, like, within the first week.
I'm Anthony Adragna. This is Politico Energy. And today,
here at home, we have to do our part, or we will not be able to make the kind of worldwide change that climate change demands.
Zach Coleman and Ben LaFave on President Joe Biden's huge climate change day. It's Thursday, January 28th. All right, let's hit this one by one. This is a really big order that covers a lot of ground. I'll start with probably the most controversial, or at least the one we heard the most pushback on, which is the halt of new leases for drilling for oil and gas in federal lands and water. What does this provision do, and what has been the reaction to it?
The provision says they will put an open-ended pause on all new oil and gas leases on federal waters onshore, and then, quote, to the extent necessary, which kind of might allow a little wiggle room. I haven't seen too many people answer, you know, what that means. The administration seems to be framing it as this is going to be a review of the oil and gas leasing system in the United States. It kind of leaves the door open for they could come out and say, you know what, we're going to resume doing this. There's a number of ways they could go on this. But the industry is thinking it's a step towards at least a total ban on new drilling permits on federal land.
Zach, what did Biden say with regard to climate and national security, which has been, I think, long a topic of conversation, but not really formalized in a way up until today?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to do an intelligence review to see what kind of threats climate change poses to our national security. If you think about it, it's something that can involve our military in theaters far from our own borders.
Climate central to foreign policy planning, to diplomacy, and to national security preparedness. It creates new platforms to coordinate climate action across the federal agencies and departments, sorely needed.
Even here in the U.S., it's a homeland security issue when you think about rising sea levels and increasing floods. So the 17 intelligence agencies are going to do a stock take of what those threats are and how the U.S. can address them.
Ben, a big topic among Democrats last Congress, now retired Senator Tom Udall, Interior Secretary nominee Deb Haaland, was this 30 by 30 resolution, and the executive order signed today formalizes that as well. What is that, and how is that order going to be significant?
Yeah, this is one of those things I thought would have generated more reaction from folks, but this was an order that the U.S. will put under protection 30% of not just federal land and waters, but 30% of U.S. land and waters by 2030. This would also be a big deal. I'm not sure exactly what areas would be particularly carved out, but obviously like a third of the U.S. landmass being put under some sort of development, you know, protection against development will be a big deal. And that's one of those issues we'll be seeing, you know, we'll be watching for more details as they come out.
We must lead global response, because neither challenge can be met, as Secretary Kerry has pointed out many times, by the United States alone. We know what to do. We've just got to do it.
Paris alone is not enough. Not when almost 90% of all of the planet's emissions, global emissions, come from outside of U.S. borders. We could go to zero tomorrow, and the problem isn't solved.
One thing I just noted I want to bring up, they're not only targeting U.S. domestic climate change, you know, related issues. The executive orders, you know, tells the Export-Import Bank of the United States to basically promote ending international financing of carbon-intensive fossil fuel-based energy. They're also trying to take the climate fight overseas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at that right now. I mean, to tell the Treasury Secretary, as the executive order states, to work on the management of climate-related financial risks. It says to develop a strategy for how the voice and vote of the United States can be used in international financial institutions, including the World Bank Group and the International Monetary Fund, to promote financing programs, economic stimulus packages, and debt relief initiatives that are aligned with the support of the goals of the Paris Climate Agreement. So that is a game changer in terms of the money flows to any number of infrastructure projects that countries around the world are going to undertake as they try to restart their economies after the coronavirus pandemic.
Yesterday, President Biden's pick for the Energy Department assured senators that the clean energy transition won't abandon fossil fuel workers.
Committee will come to order as we meet to consider the nomination of the Honorable Jennifer Granholm, the former governor of Michigan, to be our next Secretary of Energy.
During her confirmation hearing, former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm emphasized that the Biden administration's push on fighting climate change will be conscious of job numbers nationwide.
I know that you share the belief of making energy in America. And if confirmed, I look forward to working with you to bring good-paying jobs to every state and to make sure that no worker gets left behind.
Granholm's testimony also stressed that DOE must focus on eliminating greenhouse gas emissions out of the economy. But her pro-environment position got her tough questions from Republicans in the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, but also from incoming Democratic Chairman West Virginia's Joe Manchin.
People feel like they've been left behind. So in those areas that have been ravaged because of the market changes, the market's changing, we know that, and people are coming to realize that. How do we basically keep them in an opportunity situation?
But all throughout her hearing, she repeatedly stressed her commitment in making the federal government an active player in expanding green jobs across the country.
We can install wind turbines from Denmark, or we can make them in America.
For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. If you like our show, then like it. Leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It helps more people find the show. Also, check out our other shows, Politico Dispatch, Nerdcast, and Global Translations. Thanks, and talk to you again tomorrow.
Last year, Chevron invested billions of dollars to bring affordable, reliable, ever cleaner energy to America. Because it's only human to work toward a brighter future. Learn more at chevron.com.